over here with David's enemies, referring over here really specifically to the Sur of Achitophel. Achitophel was the big supporter of Avshalom. When Avshalom rebelled against David, he had supporters, and surely go through the Psukim, the background to this Mizmah, but it's a good Mizmah, a general Mizmah, where David describes all his enemies. Maybe when we finish the Mizmah, we should go back and we should review the whole Mizmah one more time quickly, just to read the Psukim to get, you know, put the whole thing in context. There's a lot of good vocabulary in this Mizmah. It's a very, very, very satisfying Mizmah. Right? You know, all of the ideas that come together, it's fascinating. Pasuk of Ayachiv Olai Piyam, you know, Chof Aleph, Ayachiv Olai Piyam, they widen their mouth, Amru, they say, He'och, He'och, Ro'aso Eineinu. But this is something which really needs to be understood. What does it mean, He'och? He'och means joy. He'och is an expression of Simcha. It's like Hip Hip Hooray. Who's the one who said Hip Hip Hooray? Who invented that term? A Jew should never ever say that. Hip Hip Hooray. They're also by the Crusaders. When they went and they attacked Yerushalayim, and they killed Jews, they said Hip Hip Hooray. It was like a rally call. He'och, He'och. It means joy, joy. Ro'aso Eineinu. Oh, we finally have merited to see the downfall of our enemy David. This is what my enemies did to me. Let's see what we have to do. I looked at the first, and I appeared there today, and I didn't really come find any heavy duty things that we're going to talk about. It's pretty very just straightforward translation of the words. Okay, so we'll just do the basics. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Chaf Aleph says in the Mitzvahs David on page 313, Vayachivu b'tzchoik rav, they wind their mouths with great joy. Ro'asaneinu mashach chafatznu lilos. Finally, we've gotten to see what we yearn for. Look at the Mitzvahs Siyon he'och inyan loshem simcha. The word he'och means joy. He'och, joy. Hu k'mo amro tzar. The enemy says, "Al amutal yushlam he'och." They say, "Ah!" It's like we say, "Ah!" It's an expression.
Right.
I don't know. I couldn't find anywhere. What is the deeper meaning? There has to be some depth in what it means he'och. Some greater depth to this expression of joy. Okay, but for now we'll leave it with that. Let's see what's in Rashi he'och, he'och, he'och. L'shon simcha, mehalel, mishalel b'ta'avas libo. They take joy and they praise themselves b'ta'avas libo. Me'rov simchasam, due to their great joy, sh'roi b'ta'avasam miskayemes. They see that their desire has come true. Look at the Targum. The Targum says, chedva, chedva. The word he'och, it translates as chedva. Chedva. It's, again, an expression of delight. Delight and joy. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. We're sitting over here in the Radak. Radak, let's go to Radak. Radak is always very good. Radak, when people are when they see that I have been exiled, it's referring over here to David. David was running away from Avshalom. He went from place to place. Amu, they said, "Ach, ach, rasa nenu kolayma rasa nenu boi masha dininu vidotzinu." We merited to see what we imagined and what we desired. V'chein. The repetition, for the abundance of joy,
where you see what the Eben Ezra, he just makes it's a remez l'nekama, in other words, simcha, but a simcha because of that you got revenge. That's
different. That's a little bit different. That it's remez l'simcha,
it's a different kind of simcha.
A different kind of joy. Say something a little bit different. Okay, everyone here says the basic thing. A double, or over here it's a repetition. This, it says, ach, ach, twice. Okay, so basically everyone over here on the page is exactly the same thing. It means great joy. Okay, let's give me pasuk a base. Ro'is Hashem, you witness what they've done to me, al techarash. Do not be silent. Hashem, al techak, meaning do not distance yourself from me. Let's do chav gimel. Ha'ira. Awaken, Yahu'ira v'ha'kitza. Ira means arouse yourself, v'ha'kitza, and awaken, l'nishpati to my nishpat, elokai, Vahashem Levi, Hashem and my master Levi to my quarrel, to my fight. He's using Hashem's name many times. And notice in the Pasuk HaBeis it says Hashem, and then it says Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, and here again it says Elokai. Okay, and then it says again Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Levi, all different expressions of employing Hashem's name for my battle. Let's take a look at the Nitzvah Pasuk HaBeis. For Isa Haloi Wa Isa Simchasam Alai, Hashem, you witness Simchasam Alai, their joy upon me. Al Tishtoik Wahem Milat Milo Kachas Mehem Nikmasi. Okay, the same idea. You witness how much they rejoice my downfall, and do not be silent from taking revenge. And what does it say in Rashi? Rashi Hoseim.
Sometimes we say Yud Kevav.
Elokim.
Yeah.
Adnut. Adnut. So what's Yud Kevav Ke, and then Aleph is mastery. Different shemas. Okay, this is all complicated, different ideas in Hashem's name. Yud Kevav Ke usually means Rachmanis. And Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud usually refers to the master. You're my master. And then when it says Elokai, Elokai comes from Elokim. Elokim is Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin, and then Hashem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is my master. So here there are two combinations. In Pasuk Chabez is a combination of Rachamim and mastery. And then we have over here, oh, look who's here online. Shalom Aleichem, Rav Dov, Dr. Dov. Where are you from? What part of the world are you?
Baltimore.
Baltimore. You have such a nice backdrop. Such a nice desk. You have flowers. You have a sunshine.
It's my son-in-law's.
Oh, the Aiden.
Oh, his office.
You see, the Aiden. You see what goes on? Okay.
You didn't say the Shvigia's office.
Okay, I don't know if you have an art school edition there in Baltimore. But we're a mizmar chav, we're a mizmar lamid hay, pasuk chav beis, lamid hay chav beis, and we're literally what it says in the Rashi. Rashi says no, we didn't get. I'm sorry, we're doing chav beis and chav gimel, pasuk chav beis, pasuk chav gimel, and now we're at the pasuk chav gimel, chav gimel with ha'ir v'akitz in Rashi. What does it mean ha'ir? Awaken, and ha'ir means to arouse and awaken. Pamalia shel ma'ila. Isn't this beautiful Rashi? L'shpoit mishpati me'oivi. So David here is saying that it's not going to be enough for Hashem. It's not enough for Hashem to awaken, to be aroused, and to be awakened. Hashem, David is saying, I want the entire Pamalia Shalmaila. What is a good translation of Pamalia Shalmaila? The entire heavenly entourage, the entire heavenly abode, all of the malachim. It'll be a big show. Now playing, what do they do in Shemayim? They have signs. Tonight, playing a special ceremony. The whole world's gonna watch where Hashem is going to take revenge. He's going to be aroused and awakened to take revenge for David HaMelech to punish the enemies of David HaMelech. Hamal Shemayim will destroy the Mishpati, may I fight my enemies. Let us see what it says over here in the Sittur Mitzvahs.
It's not nice to say that Hashem should wake up.
So you say wake up, Pamal Shamayla. You say, you think Shan Rashi. Aha, you say, Lohine, Lohine, Lohishan Shemer Yisrael. Hashem does not sleep. So it's not proper. There are charis to say such words in regard to Hashem. So Rashi is coming from Fataych. That when it says over here to be aroused and to be awakened, it's not referred to Hashem. It refers to the Pamal Yashamayla. It's very nice, a very good shot. Because it's not derech eretz to say that the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's see over here what it says over here in Pasuk Chav Dalet. Shafteini kitzit koscha Hashem Elokai, judge me according to your righteousness, Hashem Elokai. Again, another expression of Hashem Elokai. Okay, always this combination of Yudke. No. Here there's no Aleph Dal. Here's the third combination. See, look very interesting. What Kalman pointed out. Here it's Yudke Vavke, and then there's Aleph Lamid. K-U, Elokim, Hashem Elokim. Three different combinations. First is Hashem and Adnus. Then it's Elokim, Elokai and Adnus. And now it's Hashem Elokim. Hashem, three different combinations of Hashem's name. Obviously, each combination of Hashem's name represents a different dimension of Mishpat. There are many different dimensions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpat. Sometimes Hashem judged with Rachamim, Din, and then there's Aleph, Balad, Nun, Yud, which represents his own concept of submission, Gesundheit. And here, David HaMelech over here repeats himself multiple times. It seems to be repetitious, but David HaMelech basically is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to judge my enemies with every dimension of your being. Judge them with thorough Mishpat. Shafteni Hashem ki tzidkascha, judge me. Well, here he says, judge me. Shafteni, maybe he thinks, judge me. But judge me with regard to the fact that my enemies should not rejoice. Shafteni ki tzidkascha Hashem elokai, v'al yismichu li. Judge what they have done to me and do not let my enemies rejoice over me and witness my downfall. Let's do the more
Every time Mishpat is said, what is he saying?
Tzidkit, no, I'm right. I mean, you know, over here, David's enemies are saying about David. David's a Rasha. So Hashem says, I'm not a Rasha. I'm a tzaddik, and therefore judge me, show the world that I indeed am a tzaddik, and thus they are the Rishoyim. They are the wicked people. Okay, so vindicate me. Basically, vindicate me when it says Shateni ki tzidkascha. According judge me according to righteousness to show that I am indeed innocent. They are the guilty ones. Hashem Elokai v'al yismichu li, do not let my enemies rejoice over my downfall. Pasuk hafei al yomu bilibam heoch nafshenu. Do not allow them to say in their hearts, our neshama has great joy. Al yomu, let them not be able to say bila anuhu. We have devoured, swallowed up our enemy David. Yezoshu v'yachperu yachtav. Let them be embarrassed and put to shame. We learned this yesterday in the Ashrei, in the Birchas HaMazon. We spent time with this yesterday in the Birchas HaMazon on the Yehi Ratzon. The Balabayis should not have Busha and Chalima. And here we have exactly these two words. Busha, Chalima. Busha is when you bring shame upon yourself, and Chalima is when someone else heaps shame upon you. So David says, they should bring shame upon themselves, the yachperu. Now, yachperu is not klima, there's a different word. Yachperu is not the same word that we learned yesterday as klima. It's a different expression, which we'll have to see more detail in one moment. Yachtav. Now, what does it mean, yachtav? Yachtav can mean different things. It means thoroughly. It can mean thoroughly, or it can mean all of them together. All of them together in one shot. We'll see in one moment. Let's see. Smechi, those who take joy in my rasi, my tzaris. Yilbishu vayishasu chlima. Here's the word. Here's the word chlima. Let they be put, they should be dressed in vayishasu chlima, hamagdilim olai, those that rise up against me. These are very beautiful expressions. Very, very powerful command of the language. Okay, Yahudav over here is obviously a master of language. The Kalir, learn the Kinas, you see incredible koyach in language. And obviously the Kalir is taking everything from Tanakh. And each, we learn Yecheskel. Each one of the Nevi'im has a very unique language. The language of Yecheskel is very different than the flavor of Yeshaya, of Yirmiah, of each one of the Treyasa, each one of them has their unique flavor and expressions and vocabulary. Here we have a very interesting pasuk. Let's see over here. We put them together in the midst of the Sunday and the Rashi.
It's in Adam HaRishon. It says,
"Vayu shneim arumim v'lo yitboshashu."
V'lo yitboshashu. And it says, "Yildushu boshet."
Oh, saying very good. You're coming to draw a connection between Adam v'lo yitboshashu. They were not shamed, and here they are dressed in shame. They are dressed. There's a concept of being,
in essence, something.
Being clothed in shame, or that's an oxymoron, because ordinarily shame is when you're not wearing clothes. The essence of shame is to be naked. That's the essence of shame. So to say that a person is clothed in shame, he is dressed in shame. It's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction. Because if you're dressed, dressing automatically connotes the covering, the absence of shame. To state a person's clothed in shame is just the opposite. Okay, so let's see. Let's take a look at the two starting
possible. Wearing inappropriate clothing.
Oh, so right. So obviously it means something like that. So you're an imposter. Let's see, pasuk chaf chaf. There's not too many mitzvahs here. Too much chaf gimel is here. Mitzvahs of chaf gimel, page 314. Pasuk chaf gimel l'mishpati la'asoyis mishpati v'lariv v'yedek chaf dalid kitzit chaskav kifim midas chaskav v'loike masai. According to the midas chaskav v'loike masai. So he's saying an idea. The mitzvahs davar here is similar. The davar is asking Hashem to judge me according to your righteousness, not according to my deeds. But coming soon to the Yimei Hadin, Rosh Hashanah is around the corner. And we ask Hashem to judge us. We ask Hashem that your judgment should not fit the Mida, the method of your Mishpat, should be more gracious than what we deserve. You should overlook our deficiencies. Kefi Mida Sit Koska V'lokim Asai. Pasuk Hey, He'och Nafshenu, Simecho Nafshenu. Do not let my enemies say that our neshama has joy. Bila Anuhu. Do not let my enemies say we have devoured Bilanu Es David. Okay, Pasuk Chavav, Yachtav. What does it mean? What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should thoroughly wipe out, bring upon them shame? Yevoishu, the Yachpiru. Yachtov, Chavav in the Mitzvah study, Yachtov, Kulam Yachtov. He learns this to mean entirely. V'chol echad yireh b'voishes chaveiroi. Each, this is a very interesting expression, very unique. David is praying that they shall be Yivoshu, the Yachturu, Yachtov. Yachtov means all of them together to the degree where one person, each one witnesses the shame of his fellow man. Why is that important? Why is that important to witness? I guess what it means is that it intensifies the shame. It's bad enough for a person to be put to shame, but it's infinitely worse where everyone is watching. There's times a person recognizes, he realizes that he did something wrong and he's embarrassed. But it's even a greater embarrassment when other people witness a person, a public spectacle. Simechoi, listen now, Simechei Rossi, who? Hasanchim Bevoi Olai Hara, the people who take joy in my evil, and who take joy in my misfortune. And here's a very unique expression, Hamadilim Olai. Hamiskoim Machazikim Atzmam Ligidoilim Lumuli. He is defining a category of people who look down on me. They look at me, and they're always arrogant, and they view themselves to be greater than me. Okay, this is a very dangerous thing, because when we look at other people, unfortunately, we have a tendency to say, oh, I'm better than him. I'm better than him. This guy's wasting his life. He has nothing to do with himself. What does he do the whole day? What kind of life does he have? Oh, and it's very sick, because many times a person's whole chiyus in life is, oh, I'm better than that. I'm better than him. I'm better than him. I'm better than him. I really have nothing to offer. I have really nothing. Nothing really in and of itself satisfies me. The only thing that keeps me going is the fact that I'm better than someone else. That's a horrible thing. That's a horrible attitude in life. If a person was on a desert island, and there was no one there on the desert island but yourself, would you be happy? You'd be miserable. You'd be miserable because you have nothing to offer. You have no satisfaction in your own life. The only reason why you have satisfaction is because you look at everyone else and you look down at them. You look down at them. That's a miserable existence. David here is stating that his enemies are all in that category. His enemies are all in the category.
Sforno says, Shimi ben Gera v'siyato.
Say again?
Shimi ben Gera v'siyato.
Shimon Gera.
Talk about them.
Right, Dagal here, this whole mizmor is directed against Shimon Gera and Achitofel.
His friends.
Hamagdilim olai Shimon ben Gera v'siyato and his friends. They just look down at David. Their whole Sipur HaNefesh life is, look, I'm better. I come to davening earlier than all these people. I give more tzedakah. I have better children. I'm a better person. I learn more. I do more chesed. And this guy, he's not. That's a miserable existence where your whole chiyus is because you're better than someone else. This chevra that David is describing, he calls them people who are magdilim olai. Their whole life is they're better than me. And may these people be voshu, the yachru. Yachru is a hard word to translate over here. It doesn't translate this word for us over here. No one over here wants to translate the word the yachru. Yachru obviously means that should be put to shame, but it would be nice if we had a more precise definition of yachru. Okay? It means shame. What's the etymology of this word? I don't know. Okay, let's go further. Targum yachru yivosh yapos pasach avav yivahasun yidna os. You say something very good. Oh, should be humbled. Meir's on the mark. Chavav over here yivosh. But he says something very interesting in the targum. He says yivahasun means terrified. Terrified. It seems that he's translating the word yevoshu not to be simply be embarrassed. It means they should be in a state of bahola. Yevahasun, if I'm not mistaken, means to be afraid. They're afraid. And the truth is that that's really correct, because Chazal say anyone who exhibits signs of busha, diodua, he's a yorei shamayim. Busha, it's a Chazal. I don't have Chazal in front of me, but there's a Chazal that says that busha, shame, and yira shamayim are totally zebezeh. A person who exhibits signs of shame, he has yira shamayim. So it's exactly what it says over here in the Radak. The Radak over here in the Targum. Yevoshu. Now here it's not fear of Hashem, it's just they're afraid. May these people be afraid. Yevoshu. Yevahasun. Yevahasun means, if I'm not mistaken, it means they should be terrified. And then when it says v'yachberu, so the Targum says, Meir is pointing out, v'yiskanun, they shall be humbled. They shall be like hachno. They should be humbled. They should be humbled. Yachav entirely kachado. Kachado means dichodayin. Everybody else who take joy. Okay, kachado doesn't really explain, it means entirely. 100%. And that's not though what it says over here in the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah over here says, Yachdav, he says a different idea, a unique idea. Each one should see the boishas of his friend. You know, they say in these books, these esoteric books, about what goes on in Ilam Haba, what is Gehenna? How do you, they taught us that Gehenna means they go down on the elevator, all the way down to these low levels where there's fire, and there's heat, and there are coals, molten lead, and they pour, and the person is burnt. That's not necessarily accurate. We don't know, no one ever told us, but some say, some of us should explain that. What is Gehenna? Every person is given his mokon in the next world. And when the person looks, when you gaze at the abode of your friend, and you see, wow, look what he has. Like you're looking at Flappish, and you look at this guy's house, this mansion, and you go, wow, look at this mansion. And you go, look at this man. Then you go to Lakewood, and you look, wow, look at that mansion, they have a swimming pool. And then you go to Chveis, you go to this place, and you see the jealousy of seeing what someone else was zoiche to, it eats up the person, and that pain, that jealousy in essence, is Gehenna. Now it's not a jealousy, in this world, jealousy is a bad thing. What do you care, this guy has a house? This is more bills to pay, okay? what are you bills of? But in Gan Eden, you witness a person's blessing. Wow, look what he was zoiche to. And you say, I could have had that. If only I was more careful, more medaktik, in mitzvahs, nira shamayim, I could have had that spiritual mansion. So when each person, he looks and he gazes at the abode of his friend, the words is nichveh. Nichveh. Mi, 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 I forgot the exact words. A person is in Shemayim, he's given his abode, and when he looks and he gazes at the abode of his fellow, the person he knew in this world, and he sees what he had, he's nichle, he's burnt, he burns himself. He's filled with incredible pain. Wow, I could have had that joy, that connection to Hashem like my fellow man, but because of my aveirois, I lost that. That tsar is the fire of Gehenna. Whoever said the fire of Gehenna means when they take a person to a dungeon and they torture him and they burn him, and the pain that he feels there is similar to the pain that a person feels in this world when his body is nerves, when he's burnt, his body is burnt. That's one type of pain. There's another type of pain when a person, he realizes his mistakes and he realizes what he could have been had he only behaved himself, and he realized what he lost out. That tsar of recognizing what he could have had and how he lost out, that's even a greater tsar than the person being suffering from Yisurim. That is a tsar. You know, we say this again many times by Paro. Paro in Egypt, Hashem said to Moshe, I want you to bring now upon Egypt the Makkah of Borot. And Hashem said, I'm going to send now es kol magefoisai el libichon. And Rashi says, Mikan, from here we learn that the Makkah of Borot was shakul k'neged all of the Makkahs. And everyone is scrambling to try to understand this Rashi. Why in the world should the Makkah of Borod be shakul k'neged all of the Makkahs? It's not Makkahs, it's not Makkahs b'choyos. It's Borod. Borod is only the seventh Makkah. What was so special about Borod that it's shakul k'neged all of the Makkahs? So one of the ideas came across is something very, very fascinating. In Egypt, the Torah makes it very clear the difference between Egypt and Eretz Yisrael. In Egypt, it never rains. Never. It never, ever rains in Egypt. And they don't even know what rain is. How do they water their fields? Irrigation. The Nile rises, the Nile floods in the spring, and they dig irrigation canals to prepare for the flooding of the Nile. And when the water overflows, it spreads out to all the channels and waters the field. That's enormous. That's enormous labor. That's back-breaking labor that the Egyptians engage in the entire year to prepare the irrigation canals so that when the Nile floods, the water should be diverted and directed to the exact location. And even with all of that, they still have to pick up buckets and go and schlep water to make sure that the fields are watered in every single location. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to do nothing. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to go engage in back-breaking labor to irrigate the fields. The fields are watered automatically when it rains. It rains. And when it rains, everything is watered. And what is the consequences, or what is the trade-off? Right. The trade-off is that the Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't rain unless you dive into Hashem. It does not automatically rain. You have to be mispalel to Hashem that it should rain. In Mitzrayim, you don't have to do nothing. It's nature. It's science. The Nile will flood whether you like it or not. It's a guarantee. It's usually a guarantee. You don't have to be mispalel. It's built into nature that the Nile will flood. If you want to have parnasa, all you got to do is own a piece of land and break your back to prepare the irrigation canals so that when the Nile floods, it will water your field. You do not need to come on to Hashem. You don't need Hashem. Hashem religion is not relevant. It's biodayin. It's koichi v'oitzem yadi osli esachayel azeh. In Eretz Yisrael, that's not the way the land is watered. The land is watered through rain. You don't have to lift a finger, but you do have to go to shul and daven. And if you daven to Hashem, you make that connection to Hashem, then the field will be irrigated, watered, and you'll have what to eat. So far, that's it says this in the pasuk, and then it's in the parsha. I believe in the Parsha. It's not, the land that you're going into is not like the land of Egypt. The land of Egypt, there you go, you have the, you irrigate the fields. The land that you're going into, Eretz Yisrael, there, what was the Pasuk of Vayevsky?
Lo Eretz Mitzrayim I Asher, Lo Eretz Mitzrayim I Asher, so, Narish Maitish Temoyim, Eretz Asher I, Mosu, Tzimba, Bikov, Vahor.
So what is it? What have I borrowed? It says by borrowed by Yamter Hashem Elokim borrowed al Eretz. Hashem was Yamter. Chazal say, what is in by Yamter? When the borrowed descended from heaven, together with the hail, it also rained. By Yamter, Hashem rained down upon the land of Egypt borrowed. Chazal Darsh Rashi on the pasuk says. It didn't just, hailstones didn't just fall. Together with the hailstones, it descended from heaven, rain. And I guess it first started to rain, and then hailstones began to fall and kill them. When it began to rain, the Egyptians never in their life saw something called rain. It was a novelty. What? It rains? Water comes down from the sky. We don't have to break our backs to go dig irrigation canals and wait for the Nile to flood.
Less than 1 inch a year average rainfall.
Where? In Egypt.
Less than 1 inch a year.
It doesn't rain. It was a novelty. It rained? They couldn't believe it. So then, and then with the rain came down hailstones, which were miraculous. There was fire inside, ice on the outside, and whatever, and didn't go out damage. When Paro went to Moshe, it looks, says in the Pasuk, in the Daikin the Pasuk, he said to Moshe, Moshe, please pray to Hashem that the hail should stop, but not the rain. Let the rain, we love the rain. The rain is amazing. Let the rain come. Just pray to Hashem that the hail should stop. Why was this Nachat called, it's called Magetho Sai? Because the Egyptians now saw what they could have had, but when Hashem wants to give bracha, what you can get. Wow, there's something called rain. And you, the Jews, are going to go to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to go to a land where it rains. And we're stuck here. We're stuck here in Egypt, where it never rains. Wow, look at that. Look at the blessing of Hashem. The Hoya in Shemoya, till this week's parasha.
Right.
V'nasati mitar artzechem bi'ito. Wow. Rain. Not irrigation fields. You don't have to go break your back and become a water carrier and schlep buckets of water to water the field. Amazing. That realization of what could be the potential, the simcha of what could be, is extremely painful. Is more painful than a person being put into a fire. And that's why it's called Magefa inside. It's not just a Magefa of punishment. It's a Magefa of anguish, of mental anguish, of recognizing what I could have had. If only I was a servant of Hashem, what potential of blessing lies out there in the world, which I have been denied from because of my evil ways.
That's what made them say, Hashem HaTzadik, Bani Bami Hoshoyim. That's what he came to realize with the Torah.
It's very true. You look at it, you look at different, it's so true. That type of pain is very, very painful. I was looking at a video of like, many, many years ago, of a very happy event, and it was painful. It's a wow! How can it be painful? It's such a beautiful event. But in hindsight, you know what could have been. Things did not work out the way you expected in this event, and things took a turn a little bit later on. It is just. Like a, it's a fantasy almost. It's a fantasy. when you put yourself in a certain mental state, knowing what could have been, and it should have been, it's only because, unfortunately, hachet is goyrein that this did not happen. That's a unique type of tzar. Now, over here, how do we get into this over here? I forgot how we got into this over here. Okay, we're reading the mitzvah, Hamagdilim olai, hamiskoyim hamachzik ma'atzman, hamagdilim, shame, we said, we mentioned the word shame, shem yachru v'yevoshu, they're put to shame, right? So what exactly is the shame? The shame is, what it says in the Targum, yivahasun will be terrified, v'yiskan'un kachada, so we go back to the mitzvah stuff, which says something unique, is that each one will look at the other. Each one will look. So here, looking at each other simply means that each one is going to be put to shame by their fellow man. But there's another type of shame. And that's what it says in Olam Haba, that in Gehenna is where each person, when he looks at what he lost out on, what he could have had, when he looks at his friend and sees where he is located, and looks at his reward, and then one realizes, I could have had the same thing, it's only because of my averus I have been denied, that looking at someone else causes a person shame and pain, which it in and of itself is the fire of Gehenna. Now it's not exactly what it says over here in the Mitzvah of David, but there is a certain element when you see someone else, you're put to shame. In the Mitzvah stuff, what he's saying over here is that the shame will be experienced by the person who is being viewed. Here I am. I did a terrible avera. Okay, I'm embarrassed. And now when everyone walks by and sees what I did, I'm even more embarrassed. That's one. So here the embarrassment is being the one upon whom other people are looking at. Then there's another type of shame, is when you see what other people have and acknowledge that I could have had that as well, but because of my averos, it's been denied from me. I bring the shame upon myself. People, they do what they do in school. They want to do this to me. You go, you don't behave. So what do? Stand in the corner. You stand in the corner. So what is the psychology of punishing a child by telling him to stand in the corner? Everyone is looking at him. How do you punish a child? Two ways. You take the child, you tell the child, get out. Leave the classroom. So the child leaves the classroom, they're having an activity, they're going on a trip, and the punishment is, you will not go on this outing. You will not go to the park with us. You will not play in the game. You will not go to Great Adventures. So you are denied the activity. And then there's another type of shame, is where you're a bad boy, stand in the corner of the room. So every single student in the room, they look at that person standing in the corner, and by looking at him and seeing that he is in the corner, he feels shame. Two different types of shame. He has shame by not participating. Okay, let's explain it the way. Or let's say it in this way. There's a student in the classroom, and he misbehaves. So the teacher punishes him and says, you know, tomorrow the class is going to Great Adventures. You're not going to go. Go home. Don't come tomorrow. So he doesn't come. The next day, they all come back, and they all bring pictures. They bring pictures of the event. Wow, look where we went. We went to Great Adventure. Look how much fun we had. We went on this run and that ride, and we had this. So they show the pictures to the boy that was denied the privilege of going. So when this boy who did not go on that trip, when he looks at the pictures and looks at how much fun they had yesterday, he feels pain. I wish I could have gone and had that enjoyment. And when he looks at those pictures, he's filled with tzar. But the people in the room, they don't feel this pain. They're not participating in that tzar. They're just objects of his tzar. And then there's a tzar where the student is told to stand in the corner. So the tzar comes from them looking at him. Oh, you're a bad person. You have been punished. So there is a type of shame that comes via looking. There are two types of looking. Is where others are looking at you, and there's a shame where you look at others. When you look at others, and you're jealous, wow, I also wanted to go on this trip, but I was denied. That is a tsar that you bring upon yourself by looking at others. And then there's a tsar where you're standing in the corner wearing a dunce cap and everyone is looking at you. So the shame is through looking, but it's not you looking at them, it's they looking at you. So to bring about shame and tsar, you can employ the tool of the eyes. But there are two different ways you can do it. Either you yourself look at how much enjoyment other people have received and you feel tsar because you have been denied that enjoyment, or the other way around. Other people are looking at you and you feel the shame of them looking at you. The Mitzudas David over here says that David is praying to Hashem that his enemies should suffer shame via Yachdav. What does Yachdav mean? Everyone should be looking at one another. Yachdav, everyone together. It's not just enough that a person is punished. The punishment should be brought upon the people by all of them looking at one another. What does that mean, looking upon one another? Does that mean that one person will bring shame upon himself when he looks and he sees, wow, I could have had this and now I lost out? Or is it the other way around? Is that the person is sitting in the corner and people are looking at him and he's put to shame? Obviously, there are elements of both. Yachdav here is a very difficult word. Yachdav also, the other Mepharshim said, we said, is Yachdav does not mean together. Yachdav is an unusual, which means total. It's an expression, a total dosage of shame. If you put shame on a scale of 1 to 10, 10. Not 5, not 8, not 9. Yachdav means full throttle. When you go and you launch, you take off, you take the throttle and you push it all the way down, 100% total. Don't go easy on them, Hashem. Don't have rachmonis, don't lighten the load of shame that you're going to bring upon these people. Let's go further to Mr. David. Okay, we did already Yachdav, but Smechi, what else we did? Sam, I did Malai, we did all that. Now there's Rashi. Let's go to the next Psukim, and then maybe we'll come back and look at some of the other Mepharshim. We're up now to Pasuk Yuchav Zayin, Yoroinu v'yismuchu chafetzei tzidki. On the other end of it says, my friends, may they sing with joy, and may they rejoice. Those people who desire my righteousness, v'yoymu samid, and may they continuously say, Yigdal Hashem, Hashem, great, hechafetz shalom avdo, who desires the peace of his servant. Who would say this about you? About only your mother. Only your mother would be over here. This is an expression of a fan. We live today in a world, social media, and on social media they invented this thing called likes. It's a very fascinating concept. But everything we have in this world, okay, we have fans today on social media, in order to show that every type of social media has this type of concept where you give a thumbs up. A thumbs up to show, yes, I agree, I'm rooting for you. And when Reuven roots, you root, fans, baseball game. You go play baseball, you have home team advantage. What is the home team advantage? It's the fans. The fans, they all are rooting for you. When someone is rooting for you, that creates a dynamic that cannot be defined in words. It's a supernatural feeling of joy when someone is rooting for you. David here, in these incredible words, defines the totality of a fan. With the words, Yoroinu, may they sing, the Yismuchu, may they rejoice, those people who are Chafetzei Tzidki, who desire my righteousness, the Yoimu Samid, may they say continuously, Yigdal Hashem, Hashem be great, who is Hashem? Hashem is the being who hachafetz shalom abdo, who desires the peace of his servant. Pasuk of Ches, ulushoni tege tzidkecha, and may my tongue, may it speak. The word tege means speak your righteousness. Kol hayom tilosech, the entire day your praise. Let us look at these two psukim in the Mitzudos. Pasuk of Zayin, Chav Ches. Chav Zayin says, Those who desire that I shall find righteousness from Hashem. The Yomru Samid, and they should say continuously, B'chol Eis Yomru, they shall say, Yigdal Kivoyin Hashem, may Hashem's honor become great, Hechafetz B'shalom Adon, who desires the peace of his servant. Tzidkecha, HaTzidakash, Shuasisa Li Kol Yom, Asapir Tivosak, pretty straightforward. Okay, there is no Rashi. Let's maybe look at the Radak. Radak, Pasik Chavav and Chav Zayin. Yevosh Yachru Yachru Yevosh Avam Pedro and Pedro, we have 3:15 on the Radak. Pasik Chavav. Okay, it's pretty straightforward. Let's take a look here. Let's see here in the Malbum. Malbum also will leave the Malbum. It's also very straightforward. Okay, so this basically is this Mizmor. This Mizmor over here describes the joy of David's enemies trying to overcome him. Okay, I'm just going to go over here. Maybe now let's just review, because maybe it'd be nice to review for 2-3 minutes to finish up the entire Mizmar. To summarize the entire Mizmar, there have been some very beautiful expressions. I think this is Kedai to wrap up this Mizmar by reading it one more time from the beginning, and trying to bring out some of the beautiful expressions of David. This Mizmar really is a PhD thesis for writing this Mizmar. Just this one Mizmar, you can get a doctorate in analyzing the human condition, analyzing man's evil, the evil of man in all of its dimensions. So let's see again. Mizmar Lamed, I just run through very quickly. And this, what is the backdrop of this Mizmar, in the most general sense, is that David had a son, Avshalom. Avshalom, he drove him out of his Malchus. Avshalom wanted to take over the Malchus, and somehow was able to turn against his father, and David was on the run. And people were betting who's going to win at the end of the day. And many people were betting on Avshalom, and David's enemies, Achitophel and Doeg, they were leading the way. They were leading the insurgency to uproot David from his Malchus. And David here describes his bitter state, where he is been exiled from the palace, and his own son is trying to kill him, and many people who made believe that they were his friends have now turned on him and become his bitter enemies. Okay, I'm reading again from page 3, so we're going to do this very quickly, just to review. David, please fight, take up my battle. Battle my battle. Play on the words. Zeriva, and there is a Mohamma. What's the difference between a Riva and a Mohamma? Riva, I would assume, refers to a disputation. It's a battle of words. A battle for the hearts and minds of the people. A quarrel. Quarrel uses Zuntai. A quarrel does not usually have a connotation of blood. Quarrel is like, you know, in the media, there's a like today in politics, you're trying to capture the heart and minds of the people by presenting arguments and
a debate.
Riva Hashem es Yirivai. Hashem, you present information to the world in order that I should win the hearts and minds of the people. Number two, lecham es lechamoy, battle. There are violent people out there who are trying to kill me. I have to go and fight back. I need to go and have weapons. I need to have security. I need to, prevent and sometimes go on the offense to take out my enemies who are trying to kill me. Hachazek mogen vitzina. Hashem, take hold of a shield, vitzina. So we learned incredible things, that the word mogen, the shield, what stands out, mogen is a shield you use against an arrow.
And a tzina is a shield you use against a sword. Different types of defensive measures. You need a defense for arrows, and you need a defense for a sword. That's what it said. Yep. That's what it said in which of the Mefarshim said that. We had that. We had it in one of the Mefarshim over here. I don't remember which one of the Mefarshim. The Rid. The Rid said, no, it wasn't the Rid. It was someone else. It was different types of shields. Yeah, the Malbim said, Mogain is the thing I catch as. Vitzina b'bnei chedah. Take hold of a Mogain Vitzina. A shield against arrows, a shield against a sword. V'kuma b'yadrasi and rise up to my salvation. Pasi gimel. V'harek chanis. Harek means to unsheath. V'chanis a spear. U'sigar. Now, what is the new cigar? According to one of the Mefarshim, the cigar is the name of a weapon. Okay, we're not familiar with this term. I like that. Harek means unsheath the chanis and the weapon called a cigar. What is a weapon called a cigar? I have no idea. That was one interpretation. If you don't like that interpretation, then the classic interpretation is cigar means encircle, go on the offense, and encircle likras rotfai. Towards my enemies, and Emor l'nafshi, Hashem say about my neshama Yeshua, say Choni, do not worry, I will be your salvation, I'll protect you. Then in Pasuk Dal, Yevoshu, here we go over here, he's going to repeat this concept multiple times. It's not a coincidence that we learned yesterday in the benching, that whole long parish on the Yehiratzah, that my host should not be embarrassed. But here, my enemies, Yevoshu, may they bring embarrassment upon themselves, the Yikolamu, and they may bring shame upon themselves, the Rakshe Nafshi, those people who want to, Mizakshe Nafshi, those people who want to take my neshama, Yisogu Ochar, may they retreat. Okay, Yisogu Ochar means backwards. And the word yisogu means to close in. It's really an expression of how exactly you want to translate that word, I don't know. It means yisogu ochar, may they retreat. The yachpru, may they be put to shame, choshe, those people who think about me, will see my evil. Pasuk hey, new metaphor, very fascinating metaphor. You kamoitz lefnei ruach, may my enemies, may they be like chatter. Maybe like motz is just the psoilus that flies off of the wind when you grind grain. The motz chaff that flies lifnei ruach. And malach Hashem doicheh, the malach Hashem should push them far away. Pasuk vav yidarkam choshech, may their way be darkness, vachalak lakos, slippery. Umalach Hashem roifam, and the malach should push them. Those over here, we didn't realize this, is that there are two different expressions of the malach Hashem. There's the Malach Hashem that is Doicheh, and there's the Malach Hashem that is Roideif. Mayor, which one are you? Two different types of Malachim. There's a Malach Hashem that pushes, and there's a Malach Hashem that chases. Two different types of Malachi Chavolah that are bringing destruction upon a person. We have the Hebrew Varfim of Kalman, the combination of three different elements. Really are four. There's darkness. Each one in and of itself is sakana, but when all come together, it's fatal. It's when it's dark, it's dangerous. When it's slippery, it's dangerous. And when you're running, it's dangerous. When you put all three together, you don't stand a chance. When it's dark, slippery, and you're running, there's no way you're going to survive. And we had this whole drush. That's exactly churban. Just like Purim. It was a combination of isolated events. Each event in and of itself is a coincidence. You can say it's a coincidence, but when they all come together, then there's no way you can say it's a coincidence. Likewise, when it comes to Churban, it's exactly the same thing. Each event, we've always been dealing with Tsaros and Klal Yisrael since time immemorial. No! So each event you deal with responsibly. Each time we have a problem with the Goyim, there's a Tsara, and Klal Yisrael, we deal with it. But when all of the Tsaros come together, they coalesce into one Tekufa, then you realize that the Yad Hashem also says, here David is praying that all of these things, these sakonis, even though each one in and of itself is a solution, but when they all come together, then they're not going to survive. And we have the Choshech, the Chalak Lakos, the Malach Hashem. We have two different Malach Hashem. Malach Hashem Reidis, and the Malach Hashem that is Doicheh. David now says, I have done nothing wrong, and for no good reason they have hidden against me a shachas, a trap. Shachas is a pit, which means it's a trap. Rish shachas rishon. So he's calling it. I guess it's one term. It's a reshes. It is a trap where you fall into a pit. Chidam for no good, nothing chafru and ashi, this repetition. They have dug a hole for my neshama. Pasuk ches tavo emo shoah. May it come upon them darkness. Shoah in this mizmar, according to most mifarshim, means darkness. The Holocaust, we call it the Shoah. The Shoah, okay, I used to translate it because I was brainwashed and we learned it in Yeshaya, chaos. That's how most of the Farshim learn this in Yeshaya. And you should know, Rav Hutner, when his famous piece, he wrote a famous piece that he strongly objected to calling the Holocaust the word with the word Shoah, because the word Shoah, as it's typed multiple times in Sefer Yeshaya, means chaos.
No control,
chaos, and that's not correct. A Jew who has a moon in Hashem has to appreciate part of the moon is that it's not chaos. It was the Yad Hashem. The word Shoah does not do it justice. It was the Yad Hashem. We do not understand. We will never understand why, but we have to still at least recognize that it was the Yad Hashem, and the word to say that it's chaos does not do it justice. However, it's interesting that here in Sefer Tehillim, that's not the way the Mefarshim translate the word Shoah. They translate the word Shoah to mean darkness. And that would appear not to be so terrible, because it says in the pasuk, V'yanochi haster, aster panai bayom ahu. I'm going to conceal myself. Darkness, it's a time of choshech. It says in the pasuk, V'choshech al pnei sohoim. Darkness means that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding himself. It's not as bad as in chaos. If you type the word Shoah as darkness, it's not. Listen, I'm not Rav Hutner. It was Gadol Hador. I'm not coming over here to be choleg. I'm just saying is that if you translate the word Shoah as darkness, in my small mind, it takes away a portion of the criticism of Rav Hutner of using the word Shoah for the Holocaust. Preview. The way it is in the world, whether you like it or not, the word Shoah is the word that the world has chosen to describe the Holocaust. That's a fact. Just like the word Holocaust is the Holocaust, the word Shoah is Shoah. That's how it is. When did these words come into use? I don't know. We once had a whole discussion. The word Holocaust became a word that was used to describe what happened much after it happened. That's not the word they used. It took probably a decade until that word became popular. And the word show also, I don't know when it became part of our language. But the bottom line is, these are the words. Whether you like it or not, that's the word. Rav Hutner, I don't know in what context, he was critical of the word show. Because he felt the word Shoah, it lacks an expression of emunah in Hashem. Now, my worthless comment is that may be 100% correct when you translate the word Shoah as chaos. And that's exactly what it says in Sefer Yeshayah in many of the Mefarshim. But here, none of the Mefarshim go like that. They say the word Shoah means darkness. And when you translate the word Shoah as darkness, the sting of his critique is not as painful, because it was a dark time. Enochanami, Hashem does bring darkness upon this world. The choshech al panei sohaim, the anoichi haster aster panei bayom ahu. Okay, David curses his enemies. David, no one knows how to curse like David. If you notice, David knows how to curse his enemies. Rabbi Rakefet, he once said, Yiddish, there's no language that has curse words like Yiddish. Yiddish is the language. If you want to curse someone, that's the language you use to curse a person. In English and other languages, they just don't have...
It's a little vulgar, you know, in English. I think it's a little vulgar.
It's vulgar. Yiddish, there are some very, very powerful, creative expressions.
You don't want to use very, you're not direct, you're just, you
Jews have a way with words. They've invented some expressions.
Yiddish is more expressions and not words.
Words, right.
A cursed word. It's
an expression. It has a lot of flavor. A lot of flavor. When you curse someone in Yiddish, you get it. You get it. English, it's just like you said, like Eliezer said, it's just vulgar words. It doesn't really do the job. It just you're just not speaking well when you curse someone in English. In Yiddish, you really can roast someone. You can really say things.
It's the inflection of how you say certain things.
But your expressions, the incredible expressions of Yiddish, of cursing in Yiddish. David has some pretty good stuff as well. Tivo'ehu, may it come upon him. Shoah, my enemies. Darkness. Lo yeda. And we translate this to mean either a darkness that the Pshuta Shel Mikra means that he does not know how to escape from. A darkness that he does not know how to escape from. Or we try to say more homiletically, a darkness that no one has ever seen before. A darkness like none other. Vereshtoi, and this is the ultimate curse. The ultimate curse is to boomerang. The curse that you put on me, you should go right back to you. That's the ultimate curse. Vereshtoi, the trap. Asher Taman Tilkidoi should trap him. Bishoa, and then he repeats himself. He's not finished. Bishoya, Yipol Ba, he should fall into his darkness. Venashi, and when I survive, my neshama Togil Ba'ashem will rejoice. Now David describes he vacillates. So this is like, you know, it's a little bit disturbing. This going back and forth between their destruction and my joy. Venashi, my neshama Togil Ba'ashem will rejoice. Hashem Tosis Yeshua, so will rejoice. Two different verses Togil Ba'ashem in his salvation. Then we have the famous passage.
Can we go back to Shoah for a second?
Yes.
The first use of Shoah in modern time was 1940. It was a community in Edgeshore that was raising money for Polish Jews. I heard Lieutenant Birnbaum.
Okay. Again, you can hear Mayor. Mayor, don't just say, you can hear me say, Mayor said the first word Shoah was used in 1940. Terms. Modern terms.
And it means its translation is catastrophe.
Catastrophe. They translate catastrophe.
I heard something very
modern Hebrew.
I heard, I think it was a Shabbos of Thomas or a Bishop of.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Birnbaum.
Okay.
Spoke, and he said he grew up in a kidding. After like, you know, he always said out here.
Pissed on the Shoah. Excellent.
And he had no idea what he was talking about.
Okay.
He says, but after he walked into Baron Nelson or wherever it was, that
he understood.
Then he understood
what it
meant.
Wow.
So it was a very, it was a appropriate and it was a feeling word. Rav Hutna, I'm not going to say this as a fact, I don't know it, but because it was a modern Israeli word, that's why he did.
All right, that's politics already.
Right, it is politics.
I'm not arguing. I don't know, none of my business, but it's not in the halakh.
The way we learn Shoah means darkness
and
chaos. You're right.
The way it's
modern, everything is a modern word.
The battle is over.
Hashmal you don't like because it means, you know.
The battle is over. Rav Hutner lost. The word Shoah is the word that the world uses to describe the Holocaust. There's nothing to talk about.
The Amis Aron Kodesh in the shul that he owned,
yeah.
He wrote Korban Europa.
The Aguda still uses that term. The Aguda still,
out of your mouth. He used it in New Haven. He refused. I asked him, why don't you?
Why?
He said, Chaz v'chalil, it's a Zionist term.
A Zionist term?
Yeah, but this Daniel Greer
right.
is,
listen,
you know,
the battle is over. The word Shoah is the word that we all use, every single, even all the Haredim, to refer to Holocaust. Rav Hutner did not like, he made a point. You know, I don't think Rav Hutner believed for a second that he's going to change the vocabulary of the Jewish people. He was just making a point. It's a famous article. This article was in the Jewish Observer. It's a very famous article, and because he had a lot of clout in the Aguda Ariel Mazeh, I'm sure they still use the word Shoah, but to a lot of their writings, they do refer to Churban Europe. Churban Europe is clearly a very disturbing thing to say because it's not only Europe. I don't know why only say Europe. The whole world, everyone says it's not just Europe. How do you even define Europe? not even so clear how you define Europe. What part of Europe is Europe? It's a, the word Europe is not in, even in, even in the secular dictionary is not such an easy term to describe the geographic region of the world. There are different opinions of what different ways the word Europe is even used, and the whole world. And then this is the only thing I remember. I had a neighbor, I told this many, many times, I had a neighbor who passed away many, many years ago. He lived across the street, and he told me, every time he'd tell me the same thing again and again. I don't know why he always told this to me. But he always told me, every single person in this world, that's every Jew today alive in this world, is a survivor. All the Jews in America, they're survivors. What do you mean he's a survivor? Hitler never came to America. Well, he was planning to come to America. He was planning to come to America and find every single Jew and kill him.
Right.
And every single Jew in this world is a survivor. So it's not just the Churban of Europe, it's the Churban of the entire world. The consequences, the ramifications of what Hitler did, what happened in the Holocaust and the Shoah affected every single living Jew, every person in this world. It was a Churban to the world, a Churban. So to say it's Churban Europe, that's clearly not accurate. You want to say it was a Churban? It was a Churban in the world. Okay, but the Churban is a term that's reserved for the Beis HaMikdash. See, you don't want to go take words that are reserved for other things and abuse them. Like you say, Yerushalayim is the Ir HaKodesh. To say that Lakewood is the Ir HaKodesh is a Chil Hashem. That's an abuse of the word. Yerushalayim is the Ir HaKodesh. You don't say Lakewood is an Ir HaKodesh. The word Churban refers to the Beis HaMikdash. You don't say the word Churban in reference to the Holocaust. That's not right. You're taking away what the word really refers to. In Chazal, the word Churban means the Beis HaMikdash. How can you go say it refers to the Holocaust? So you go to Churban Europe? That's not true. It was a Churban to the whole world. It wasn't just Europe. It was the whole world. It was a Churban. So we want to say the word Shoah? Sorah, what is it? Shoah? It means chaos, at least in Tanakh. It wasn't chaos. There's a Seder. Everything that Hashem does is done with a calculation, with a cheshbon. We don't see it. We don't know. So that's not the word. So what are you going to call it? I don't know. You have to come up. You have to settle on something just for the sake of, you have to identify. You have no choice. So the way it is, the world decides. The word is Shoah. The word is Shoah. The word is Holocaust. That's the way it is. I don't think I've heard it.
It's like in politics. If a politician or somebody uses the word Holocaust in the wrong context,
right,
it's totally blasphemous.
Right, right.
Using the word Corbin in the wrong context is
exactly
blasphemous.
It's very hard,
using
right?
The word Shoah in the wrong context.
The word Nazi. The word Nazi has become abused. The word Nazi means someone in our vocabulary, in Orthodox Jew, it means someone who wants to kill, to murder a Jew because he's a Jew. Because the every Jew, because he has Kedushas Yisrael. That's what the word Nazi means in the mind of an Orthodox Jew. It means a Russia who wants to torture, kill, murder, genocide every Jew in this world because he represents Hashem. Because of his sanctity. Not because he's just in the way. Because there are too many human beings in this world. Because he's inferior. He has an illness. No. That's not that's an abuse of the word Nazi. The word Nazi is a Russia who wants to commit genocide. It's a Milchemes Hashem. Don't take out the element of Milchemes Hashem from the word Nazi. And when you hear people talking about it in Ukraine, the denazification of Ukraine, which what in the world does that mean? Go read all the op-eds. No one even knows what that means. Putin, he's going to war against Ukraine because he has to continue the denazification of Ukraine. What in the world does that mean? No one has any clue, and whatever you try to say it means, it's a disgrace to what we understand, what it represents. Today there's a lot in the Holocaust, this is a whole new type of Holocaust denial. There was a fantastic little article in Mishpacha magazine about 2 months ago. It was a small little article. It wasn't even meant to be a little. Someone wrote a little comment, and it spread like fire all over the Jewish publications. And basically, the essence is that today there's a new Holocaust. It's going on already for years, but today more than ever, you know, there was a Holocaust. And then came along the Holocaust deniers. It never happened. Never happened. There weren't 6 million Jews. There were maybe a few hundred thousand Jews. Mishagoyim, crazy people. The Holocaust denied, and they want to. Now, there's a different type of Holocaust denial. The Jews were not killed because they represent Hashem. The reason why the Jews were killed, it was just a humanitarian crisis. There was a war, and there were too many people, and there was this, and there was that. It wasn't a Milchemes Hashem. This is the Holocaust denial of this generation. It's nothing to do with Judaism, nothing to do with God. It's just, you know, whatever. There's war.
They had to pick on somebody.
And war, there are casualties. There are casualties. And those are 6 million. They were, how many people died in World War I and World War II? 50 million people. How many people died in the Spanish flu? They have all these numbers and numbers, astronomic numbers. I don't even know if these numbers are true. So, yeah, so a million people here, a million people there, 6 million Jews here. Nothing to do with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nothing to do with Hashem. That is the worst type of Holocaust, because it's 100% a fact that the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, attempted to commit genocide because of one reason. They were loichem alochemes Hashem. They wanted to go to war against God. And Klal Yisrael is the Am HaNivchar. Klal Yisrael are Hashem's people, and they wanted to be oiker Hashem from the world by being oiker Klal Yisrael. The world now is engaged in a Holocaust denial of removing this element from the Holocaust. And that is even worse than denying the Holocaust ever happened in itself. And that's a very big topic today. A very big topic today in Holocaust denial. Because they can't already go deny the Holocaust. That already has been, already after 70, 80 years, already they've lost that battle. So now they're engaging in a new battle. Look, there were gypsies that were killed, and there were mentally retarded people that were killed. And they were the soldiers, how many German soldiers, how many Russian soldiers, how many this, how many that. Yeah, so there were Jews that were killed. It wasn't anything, it wasn't because of Klal Yisrael. That's a terrible thing. It's a very dangerous approach.
And if you know what hypocrites they are, it's because the first term of Holocaust was the Armenian Holocaust, which the Germans actively helped them kill 2 million Armenians. And the only Jew who helped him was Morgenthau. His ambassador to Turkey was Morgenthau. The old...
He helped their meetings.
Yeah, he was the only one who wrote reports at times, and he lobbied for them. So when you say Holocaust among Goyim Armenians, they will automatically say that happened to them. But all of these deniers, they forget that this.
So let's run a very quickly. Kol atzmoisai pasuk yud, kol atzmoisai, all of my bones, teimaran Hashem yichamoicha. Okay, that we discussed, that we need the rules of davening. Ma'atzul oni nechazeg yimenu nevdu oni ve'evyo mi goyzla. And I saw actually yesterday from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, a beautiful one in this pasuk. It was very, we have to finish it very quickly. But he says over here, Hashem saves the oni nechazeg yimenu, period. And then he says, the oni ve'evyo mi goyzla means from another oni. From the one, what's the repetition? Why is there repetition in this pasuk? So Chaim says, the first part of the pasuk means that Kadosh Baruch Hu saves an ani when he's been robbed by the rich. The rich, they also like to steal. So who do they steal from? They steal from the vulnerable, from the poor people. But then you know what else happens? The poor man is robbed by another poor man. One homeless person is robbed by another homeless person. That's another type. So Hashem, he saves the ani mechazak mimenu, from the rich. And Hashem also saves the ani and the evyon mi gozilo, Gesundheit, from the one who steals from him. Who steals from the Ani and the Avyon in the second half of the Pasuk? Another Ani. There are two different types of theft that happen in this world. Is when the rich exploit the poor, and when the poor exploit the poor. Next, Pasuk Yudat Yikumun, E'edei Chamas, Asher Lo Yudat Yisholuni. David now describes what they do to me. They rise up against me, E'edei Chamas. Witnesses, false witnesses that testify, Asher Lo Yudati Yisholuni. They ask from me, testify against me things that I don't know what you're talking about. Lo Yodati, they say you borrowed money. I never borrowed money from you. I never did this to you. We have witnesses. These are false witnesses. Yishalmuni ratachas toiva. Famous pasuk. They pay me, no good deed goes unpunished. Shechol lenafshi. They want my neshama to be bereft. Okay? They want shechol, they want my neshama. Shikul means rachmanos when a child dies. And they want to bring upon death to my neshama that my children should die, it seems. That's what he seems to be saying. And David says, this is not fair because Vani I, Bachaloisam, when they were sick, Levushi Sok, I was sackcloth, Inesi, I afflicted myself, Batsoim Nafshim, my Nisham with fasting, Yusufilosi, Al Fiki Toshuv, and I'm sincere. My prayers were sincere, Vaharaya, I'm willing that my prayers should come back to me. Halavai, someone should pray for me what I prayed for them. Kirea Kochli His Halochti, they were like, I was like to them a rea and a friend and a brother, but ke'evil and I mourned over them like a mother mourns over her child. Ke'evil and koder, I was dark. Shachlis, I bent over. But with sali, when I tripped, samaku, they rejoiced. V'nesafu nesafu alei nechem, and they all gathered against me, these low lives. Lo yodati karu v'loydamu. Nechem v'lo yodati. Nechem means low lives that, and I don't even know why they gathered against me. I did nothing to them. Karu, they called out again. Karu, they ripped into me. They opened up their mouth in laughter. They called out, but there's an ayin here. Why is there an ayin if it means to call out? Karu, over here in the Mitzvah says, Kein karu kasicha sakel l'schoik. Okay, even though I guess there's an ayin, it means they called out and they were not silent. The chanfei lagi mog v'chorek l'ashinima with mockery. Downgrading mockery for money, all for money, mug for the cake. They gnashed their teeth. Hashem, how much are you going to want? Hashem, how much are you going to want? Hashem, restore my neshama from their darkness. Same word, Shoah. Nikifidim Yechidasi, my neshama is Yechidah from their lions. And then he goes on to say, Ritzmi, Uduch Hashem, I will praise you, Hashem, when you save me, because Rabbi Am Otsim Ahalelka, among many great people. Al Yisrael Yoiv HaShekher, do not let my enemies who are liars rejoice. Sayinai Chinam, their enemies for no good reason. Yikmi Tzu'oi, they wink their eyes. Tilo Shomi Daveru, they don't speak peacefully. Dalmigi Eretz Tavri Nirmos, Yechashayvun. And they say, they think thoughts of deception in hiding places. Okay, Vayacha, we do this today, okay, so that will be for now because it's very, very late. All right, so we chaz most of the Mizmar until the part that we did today. In Yirtz Hashem tomorrow, we will begin Mizmar Lamed Vav, the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. Take a short break.
He fainted by Shachris, and they brought him to the hospital. I spoke with him. I mean, he sounded fine, but he did faint. And I don't know if that was
it. Check
him out. Yeah,
that's
right.
Do you have his number?
Actually, I did. Yes.